you for your peace, for your presence, God. We give you praise and praise. We worship you, Lord. Thank you.
over everything, everything you've been praying for, everything you've been asking for, everything the enemy tried to take, let that peace just wash over you this morning. Come on, Jacob. Holy Spirit, we just invite you in this place. Have your way. Have your way in this place, oh God. We worship you. We
Thank you.
Rip, just stand behind him if you would. In the name of Jesus, I thank you for restoring Mark's health. I thank you, Father, that you are Jehovah Rapha. You're the Lord who heals us. And Lord, right now, we just agree together that Mark is completely healed. Thank you for restoring his health. Thank you for your healing anointing. Blowing right now in his body. I come on your brain to be completely healed. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. You want prayer, Joe? Can you stand here for me? Can you tell me what you want? Alrighty, arthritis. I take authority over this arthritis. And I command you to go from Joe's body in the name of Jesus. I command this arthritis, go right now. Lord, I release your healing anointing. Thank you for healing Joe from the top of his head to the soles of his feet. Thank you, Father, for taking our arthritis so that we can be healed. We agree that Joe is healed, he's healthy, he's whole. All pain goes in Jesus' name. Freedom. What are we praying for you today? Father, I pray for freedom. I thank you that you're the God of comfort, you're the God of mercy. I just pray, Lord, I thank you for blessing him and his family. I thank you for strengthening him. I thank you for comforting him. I thank you for providing for him. I thank you for guiding him, Lord. We just bless Fredo in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord, for your strength, for your peace, for your healing, for your joy that flows through him right now, that rises up on the inside of him. In Jesus' mighty name, I thank you, Lord, that you, Holy Spirit, you are with Fredo. You are guiding him, directing him. In Jesus' name. Wilton? Oh, excuse me. What's your name? Audrey. Let's pray. You ready? You believe Jesus is here? Close your eyes for me, Audrey. Lord, I thank you for Audrey. And I thank you, Lord, that you are her healer. I thank you, Jesus, that you took her sickness on the cross. And it's your will that she be whole, that she be healed, that she be healthy. You said the believer will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. So as I lay my hands upon Audrey, I command the blood clots to go in the name of Jesus. I command her blood flow to be completely normal. I thank you, Lord, for restoring her health. I thank you for healing her. I thank you for your healing anointing and power that flows right now in Jesus' name through her body. I give you all the praise, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Father, for healing Audrey. No more blood clots. In Jesus' name, we agree. If you agree, say, I agree. Amen. Why don't you turn to someone and welcome them and smile and tell them you're glad to see them today.
By the time you're in your 40s. I thought, well, that's a great prediction, right? But then I started getting, I was in my 20s, I started getting sharp pains up my elbow. And I thought, that's that arthritis that they keep talking about. And my grandmother had, and my dad. And then I remember the Bible says that every name that is named has to bow to the name of Jesus, right? And arthritis is a name, right? It's a name. It's got a name, right? And I just said arthritis in the name of Jesus, you bow to that name. And that pain just went away. I never had it. Then years later, I'd have once in a while, I'd have that come back. I just took authority over it. You know, we've got authority. Only because of the name of Jesus. But we've got to use it. Because sometimes we can just get, you know, well, I'll put up with this. It's not that bad. Or my mom had it, my grandma had it. And it's inevitable. It's not inevitable. Everything has to bow to the name of Jesus, right?
Amen.
Well, good morning. We're so glad you're in church today. It's good to worship the Lord, not only on Easter, even the week after Easter, right? And I want to welcome anyone who's visiting for the first time today. If you are here, just come in with somebody or just walked in. We're so glad to have visitors in our church, aren't we?
Yes.
And so if you're here for the first time, would you mind just waving your hand that we can give you a gift bag right where you're sitting? Anyone here for the first time? No? Been here more than once? Anybody for the first time?
She had a gift.
Oh, you did? There you go, ushers. There we go. Liz is watching. I'm going to ask the back of your head, Liz. Praise God. Thank you.
Wonderful. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Yep, good to see you all back on the Sunday after Easter. Right? Wonderful. Well, listen, we're going to have a great time here this morning, we already have. But I just want to mention to you that on Wednesday, it is Pastor Jill's birthday this Wednesday. Yes. And, you know, it was my birthday just 5 weeks ago. And you all were so generous to me, and we had a wonderful party, and it was so great. And, you know, I couldn't do what I'm doing without Pastor Jill.
Amen.
And she's just as, you know, important in the leadership of this church as I am. And so I know you love her and I know you appreciate her. And on your seat there's an envelope and it says, "Happy birthday, Pastor Jill." I want to encourage you to bless her. Yeah, thank you, Dan. Thank you so much. We've got some flowers for you. Happy 39th birthday. And after the service, we have a nice big birthday cake. I believe it's going to be out there in the lobby. Am I right? Thank you to my sister. Thanks for getting the cake for me. Getting it this morning. And yesterday was Miguel's birthday. It was yesterday. And Chris Birch also yesterday. Yesterday, it's my son's birthday tomorrow. He turns 30 tomorrow, April 9th. And then Pastor Jill's on Wednesday. And then Pastor Theo, my pastor, on Friday, he turns 70. We were in San Antonio. We got back last night. We went for his 70th birthday party. I really, you know, believe we needed to be there. I'm glad we went. And we had a great time. We're so thankful for Pastor Theo, everything he's done in our life and for so many people. So we went through and celebrated his birthday. So his birthday is on Friday the 13th. Then my granddaughter's on the 18th, Emma. Then Nadine's on the 25th. Then Robin's on the 1st. I have a lot of birthdays this month. Pray for me this month. My credit card's like, on fire. So anyway, if you would like to be a blessing to Pastor Jill, you know, there's something that she really needs, and she really needs a new computer. And I don't mean personal, I mean really business. So she does all of, you know, Pastor Jill does all of a lot of the administration, the bookkeeping, and a lot of different things on her computer. She's had it for so many years, And even this morning, every time she gets on the computer, I hear it takes 15, 20 minutes for her to wait for everything to boot up. It's so old. We took it in to Apple to see if they could do something, and they said it is it's a vintage. It's a vintage. It's like, I don't know, how old is it? 2009? Okay, so it's 9 years old and it's a vintage. They don't even work on it. They won't even do anything. So there's nothing really we could do. So anyway, I would love to be able to bless Pastor Jill and get her a new computer. She really needs it. So if you would like to be a blessing, please go ahead and use that envelope. Thank you so much for doing that. And then afterwards, please stay and have some cake with us and have some fun. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Let's just pray one more time. Father, we thank you so much. We thank you for sending Jesus to this earth to redeem us. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, for sending the Holy Spirit to come and be our help, to guide us. And Lord, today as I speak about your Holy Spirit, I pray that you will cause your word to come alive in every heart. And I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you anoint me and you help me and you carry your word to every heart, that you cause faith to rise, that you bring revelation, you bring understanding. In Jesus' name, Lord, we give you all the praise today for everything said and done. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Now, the last few weeks, I've been speaking about how Jesus was a friend of sinners, how that Jesus came for relationship, to have a relationship with us. And today, I want to speak about another friend. That's my title. Another friend. And I want to start out in John chapter 14 with something that Jesus said while he was on the earth. He said, I will talk to the Father, and he'll provide you another friend. Say, another friend. So that you will always have someone with you. This friend is the Spirit of truth. The friend, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send at my request, will make everything plain to you, and he will remind you of all the things that I've told you. So Jesus said that he's going to pray to the Father. He's going to ask the Father. And the Father's going to send us another friend, the Holy Spirit. And I want to read John 14, verse 16 from the Passion Translation. It says, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another Savior. Notice that. He will give you another Savior. The Holy Spirit of truth, who will be to you a friend just like me. And he will never leave you. Now, it says the world won't receive him because they can't see him or know him, but you will know him intimately because he will make his home in you and he will live inside you. Now, when I look at the footnotes in the Passion Bible, it tells me that the Greek word that is used for the word Savior, or most Bibles say helper, he will give you another helper. He will give you another comforter. He will give you another teacher. But that word in the Greek is the word parakletos. That's the Greek word. And it means one who is called to stand next to you as your helper. And various translations have rendered this word as defense attorney. Like if you went to court and your defense attorney stands next to you to represent you, to help you. Other translations have translated it as counselor, comforter, advocate, intercessor, encourager, helper. And all of those things are true. However, none of those words alone are adequate, and they really fall short of explaining the full meaning of the Holy Spirit's ministry. And the Passion Bible has chosen to use the word Savior. Now that may seem to some, first time I read that, they said, I'm going to ask the Father to send you another Savior. I thought, well, I've never heard that before. But you see, this word depicts the role of the Holy Spirit, because he has been sent to protect us. He has been sent to defend us. He has been sent to save us from ourselves and from our enemies. He has been sent to keep us whole, to keep us healed. He's the one who guides us. He's the one who defends us. He's the one who comforts us. He's the one who strengthens us. Are you with me? So keep in mind, the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Christ, our Savior. And so, in fact, the Aramaic word is parakleto, and it's taken from the root word, which is to end or to finish. And then the word letra means the curse. So follow with me. What it is saying is that the Holy Spirit has been sent to end the work of the curse of sin in our life and to save us from its effect. He is a redeemer who ends the curse. That's what this verse is telling us. So I want you to see how important the Holy Spirit's ministry is in our life. Jesus, who has been the disciples' closest friend for three and a half years, now he tells them, you know, when he leaves, he said, I'm sending you another friend, the Holy Spirit. And in fact, in John 16, verse 7, Jesus said, it's better for you that I leave. It's better for you that I leave, because if I don't leave, the friend won't come. But if I go, I will send him to you. And the Amplified Bible says, I will send the Holy Spirit to be in close fellowship with you. Now, Jesus said, it's better for you, for me to leave, so that I can send the Holy Spirit. Now, why would that be better? Well, you see, Jesus had lived with the disciples for just over 3 years. He was their friend. He was their helper. He was their Savior. And, I mean, anything they needed, they went to Jesus. Right? Now, Jesus tells them, it's better for you if I leave. Why? Because I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. If I don't leave, then the Holy Spirit cannot come. Why would it be to have advantage? Why would it be better for Jesus to leave and send the Holy Spirit? Because when Jesus lived on the earth, he lived in a human body, and he was limited by a human body. In other words, he could only be one place at one time. And he could only have a relationship with a certain amount of people. That's why Jesus only had 12 disciples. Are you with me? He couldn't fellowship with everybody. Now, Jesus would preach to the masses, he'd preach to the thousands, but really, he only was in close fellowship and relationship with the disciples, mainly. So if Jesus had stayed on the earth, and if he never left, how would you ever get to see Jesus? Can you imagine? You'd have to fly to Israel, go to Jerusalem, get a taxi, get a hotel, and then go stand in line. For the next 25 years, you'd be standing in line to see Jesus. But you see, the Holy Spirit is not limited by one physical body. He has come to live on the inside of each and every believer. The Holy Spirit has been sent to be our helper, to be our friend. You don't have to go through this life on your own. The Holy Spirit has been sent to help you. Are you with me? Yes. Who is the Holy Spirit? Some Christians don't know anything about the Holy Spirit. Well, in Acts chapter 5, Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep that part of the price of the land for yourself? He said, you've not lied to men, you've lied to God. Now, he said you lied to the Holy Spirit, right? Yes. And then he said you didn't lie to men, you lied to God. What does that tell me? The Holy Spirit is God. Isn't that what it, the Holy Spirit is God? He's a divine person. He's a divine personality. The Holy Spirit is not like the mist that comes up out of your kettle, and you're like, oh, Holy Spirit, ooh, Holy Spirit, ooh. No, he's a person. He's a divine personality. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8, verse 27, it says, now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is. The Holy Spirit has a mind. In 1 Corinthians 12, verse 11, it says, but the one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. That tells me the Holy Spirit has a will. And then Ephesians 4 verse 30 says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. That tells me the Holy Spirit has emotion. Are you with me? Yeah. So the Holy Spirit has a mind, he has will, and he has emotion. Those are all attributes of personality. Do you know that there are three persons in the Godhead? Do you know that God is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, three separate persons? That's why in Genesis, in chapter 1, the very beginning, when God created the world, it says in Genesis 1:26, God said, let us, notice us, not me, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Now that's plural, right? If I say, let us make man in our image, that means it's not just me. What's it talking about? It's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit at creation said, let us make man in our image. Are you with me? The Hebrew word is the word Elohim. And it literally is translated as God. Then God said, let us make man in our image. And you can see the three persons of the Godhead when Jesus was baptized in the Jordan River. It says in Matthew chapter 3, in verse 16, when he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water. Now, who is Jesus? This is not a trick question. Jesus is the Son of God. What is Jesus doing? He's in the water being baptized. Right? Jesus had been baptized. He came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. So how many of you know the Holy Spirit now, Jesus has been being baptized by John the Baptist, and as he comes up out of the water, he sees the Holy Spirit. You still here?
Yes.
And then he says, suddenly, a voice came from heaven and said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Who was the voice? That was the Father. So you see the Father, this is my beloved Son, Jesus being baptized, the Holy Spirit descending upon Jesus. Three separate persons. When you get to heaven one day, you get the Father seated on the throne, and at his right hand is Jesus. Where's the Holy Spirit? He's on the earth. Now why is it important to understand this? Because the Holy Spirit is a divine person. And he wants to have a close relationship with you. He wants to be your helper. Jesus has sent the Holy Spirit to be our friend. And when Jesus appeared to the disciples after his resurrection, after he rose from the dead, look what Jesus said to the disciples in Luke chapter 24. He said, now I will send the Holy Spirit upon you just as my Father promised. Don't begin telling others yet. Stay in the city until the Holy Spirit comes and fills you with power from heaven. Jesus said, don't go anywhere. Jesus said, don't tell, don't preach, don't do anything. You need to wait until you receive the Holy Spirit whom the Father's going to send. Yeah. Are you still here?
Yes.
In Acts chapter 1, in verse 1, just want to let you know, whoever did the lights, only one of the spots are on, the other two are out. So I hope that's not going to be a problem for the streaming. But in Acts chapter 1, verse 1, follow with me now. Now listen, this morning, I'm going to be sharing a lot of scriptures. And the reason I'm going to be sharing a lot of scriptures is I want you to be abundantly clear that this is in the Bible, as clear as day. Okay? I could just refer to these scriptures, but it's better for you to see them for yourself. So in Acts 1 verse 1 it says, I write to you again, my dear friend, to give you further details about the life of our Lord Jesus and all the things that he did and taught. Just before he ascended into heaven, he left instructions for the apostles he had chosen by the Holy Spirit. After the sufferings of his cross, Jesus appeared alive many times to these same apostles over a 40-day period. Jesus proved to them with many convincing signs that he had been resurrected. And during these encounters, he taught them the truths of God's kingdom realm. He shared meals with them. Jesus instructed them, don't leave Jerusalem, but wait here until you receive the gift I taught you about, the gift the Father has promised you. For John baptized you in water, but a few days from now, you will be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And it goes on, verse 8. But I promise you this, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and you will be filled with power and you will be my messengers to Jerusalem and throughout Judea, the distant provinces, even to the remotest places on earth. And right after he spoke these words, the disciples saw Jesus lifted up into the sky and disappeared into a cloud. And they stared into the sky watching Jesus ascend. just noticing a scene. We will see a scene now. Two men in white robes suddenly appeared beside them. And they told the startled disciples, Galileans, why are you staring up into the sky? Jesus has been taken from you into heaven, but he will come back the same way you saw him ascend. How many know Jesus is coming back?
Yes.
I said, how many know Jesus is coming back?
Yes.
The disciples left the Mount of Olives and returned to Jerusalem less than a mile away. And arriving there, they went into a large second floor room called the upper room to pray. And those present were Peter, John, Jacob, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, Jacob, the son of Alphaeus, Simon the Zealot, Judas, the son of Jacob, and a number of women, including Mary, Jesus' mother. I just want to point that out to you. The mother of Jesus, Mary, is in the upper room.
Amen.
Can you see that?
Yeah.
And his brothers were there as well. All of them were united in prayer, gripped with one passion, interceding day and night. During this time, Peter stood up among the believers, 120 believers. There were 120 believers gathered in that upper room. They were waiting for the Holy Spirit. What happened? They waited 50 days. What happened? Well, in Acts chapter 2, verse 1, what they've been waiting for, the Holy Spirit, he comes to the earth. On the day of Pentecost, it says, on the day Pentecost was being fulfilled, all the disciples were gathered in one place. And suddenly, they heard the sound of a violent blast of wind rushing into the house from out of the heavenly realm. The roar of the wind was so overpowering that it was all anyone could bear. Then all at once, a pillar of fire appeared before their eyes and separated into tongues of fire that engulfed each one of them. And they were all filled and equipped with the Holy Spirit, and they were inspired to speak in tongues, empowered by the Spirit to speak in languages that they had never even learned. Now, at this time, there were Jewish worshippers who had immigrated from many different lands to live in Jerusalem. And when the people of the city heard the roaring sound, crowds came running to where it was coming from, stunned over what was happening, because each one could hear the disciples speaking in his or her own language. Bewildered, they said to one another, aren't these all Galileans? How is it that we hear them speaking in our own languages? We are northeastern Iranians and northwestern Iranians and Elamites and those from Mesopotamia, Judea, east central Turkey, the coastal areas of the Black Sea, Asia. They're from all these different places. It says, yet we hear them speaking of God's mighty wonders in our own language, in our own dialect. And as they stood there dumbfounded, what happened to my scriptures on the front screen here? As they stood there dumbfounded and astonished, they said to one another, what is this phenomenon? But others poked fun at them and they said, they're just drunk on new wine. Miguel, are you okay back there?
He's drunk.
You still with us? It says, how come we're hearing them all in our own language, speaking the mysteries of God? Because how did that happen? God supernaturally opened their ears that they could understand what they were saying in the Spirit. And then others poked fun. They said, they're just drunk. They're drunk on wine. Why would they think that they were drunk? This is not a trick question. Why would they think they were drunk? Because of the way they were acting. You ever seen a drunk person? You ever been drunk and hold up your hand? You ever seen a drunk person? A drunk person, oh, there you are, happy, everything's great, joy. However they were acting, let me tell you something. The Bible says don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. Do you know that being drunk on alcohol is a counterfeit of being filled and drunk in the Spirit? Do you know that you can get so drunk on the Holy Spirit, you can get so full of joy, and you can be laughing uncontrollably, you can have such joy overflowing, and you get up in the morning, no hangover. Being drunk on alcohol is the enemy's counterfeit of being filled with the Holy Spirit. That's what the Scripture says. So Peter stood up with the 11 apostles, verse 14, And he shouted to the crowd, listen carefully, my fellow Jews and residents of Jerusalem, you need to clearly understand what's happening here. These people are not drunk like you think they are. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning. This is the fulfillment of what was prophesied through the prophet Joel, for God says, this is what I will do in the last days. I will pour out my spirit on everybody, and I will cause your sons and daughters to prophesy, and your young men will see visions, and your old men will experience dreams from God. The Holy Spirit will come upon all my servants, men and women alike, and they will prophesy. Amen. So listen, when they get filled with the Holy Spirit, they start speaking out in a heavenly tongue that they never learned. It's a supernatural language. Amen. Did you see that?
Yes.
Then we see the same thing happen in Acts chapter 10, a few chapters later. It says, no sooner. In Acts 10, verse 44, Peter is preaching to the Gentiles. It says, no sooner were these words out of Peter's mouth than the Holy Spirit came upon the listeners. And the believing Jews who came with Peter, they couldn't believe it. They couldn't believe that the gift of the Holy Spirit was being poured out on outside of non-Jews. But there it was. They heard them speaking in tongues. They heard them, verse 46, they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. They heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. And Peter said, do I hear any objections to baptizing these friends with water? They've received the Holy Spirit exactly as we did. Are you still here?
Yes.
Now we're going to see it again. In Acts 19, it happens again. It says in verse 1, while Apollos was ministering in Corinth, Paul traveled on through the regions of Turkey until he arrived in Ephesus, where he found a group of 12 followers of Jesus. 12 believers. And the first thing, say the first thing. The first thing. One more time, say the first thing. It says the first thing he asked him was, what church do you go to? The first thing he asked them was, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you became believers? First thing he asked them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you became believers? No, that's it. We have not even heard of the Holy Spirit. Do you know there's still Christians today who never heard about the Holy Spirit? Never heard about the Holy Spirit. First thing Paul asked them, have you received the Holy Spirit? So evidently, listen to me, evidently, you can be a believer and yet not be filled with the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Many Christians today don't know anything about the Holy Spirit because no one's told them. And so it says in verse 6, when Paul laid his hands on each of the 12, the Holy Spirit manifested, and they immediately spoke in tongues and prophesied. Now again, we saw it in Acts 2, when they were waiting for the Holy Spirit to be poured out, and finally, the sound of a rushing mighty wind, tongues of fire, they all get filled with the Spirit, they speak in other tongues. Acts 10, Peter's preaching to the first time, to non-Jewish people, and they get filled with the Holy Spirit, and they start speaking in tongues. And then in Acts 19, Paul comes across 12 believers. He asks them, have you received the Holy Spirit? No, we haven't heard about it. Lays hands on them. They all start speaking in tongues. Can you see the common denominator here? Once they are filled with the Holy Spirit, they begin to speak out in this heavenly language they've never learned. They begin to speak out in another tongue.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Today I want to talk to you for a few minutes about the amazing things that happen in your life when you begin to speak out and pray in this heavenly language called other tongues. There are many blessings you receive when you are filled with the Holy Spirit. There are many ways that the Holy Spirit has come to help us. I'm going to tell you some of those great ways that the Holy Spirit wants to help you real quick. And then I'm going to talk about praying in the Spirit. But I'm going to give you 12 things really fast that the Holy Spirit has come to do in your life. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Number one, the Holy Spirit has come to lead you and guide you. Romans 8 verse 14 says, for all who are led by the Spirit of God, our children of God. Say, thank you, Holy Spirit, that you lead me and you guide me. John 16, verse 13, Jesus said, when either Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you into all the truth, where he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak and he will tell you things to come. Number two, the Holy Spirit teaches you and he brings things to your remembrance. John 14, verse 26, But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things. And he will bring to your remembrance all that I've said to you. Say, thank you, Holy Spirit, for teaching me. Number three, the Holy Spirit will strengthen you. Ephesians 3 verse 16 says, I pray that from his glorious unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Say, thank you, Holy Spirit, that you empower me with inner strength. Number four, the Holy Spirit has come to comfort you and encourage you. Acts 9 verse 31 says, so the church throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria enjoyed peace and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, in the comfort and encouragement of the Holy Spirit, and then continued to grow. Notice the Holy Spirit has come to encourage us. The Holy Spirit has come to comfort us. Amen? Sometimes talk about the Holy Spirit, people leave. Sometimes when you talk about the Holy Spirit, people leave. Ain't going to stop me. Number five, the Holy Spirit has come to bring you freedom. 2 Corinthians 3 verse 17 says, for the Lord is the Spirit, and wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is
freedom.
Say, thank you, Holy Spirit, that you bring me freedom. Number six, the Holy Spirit puts God's love in your heart. Romans 5 verse 5 says, the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Say, thank you, Holy Spirit, for filling my heart with the love of God. Number seven, the Holy Spirit gives us joy. 1 Thessalonians 1 verse 6 says, you became imitators of us and of the Lord after you welcomed our message at a time of great trouble with the joy supplied by the Holy Spirit. Say, thank you, Holy Spirit, that you fill me with joy. Number eight, the Holy Spirit transforms us into the image of Christ. 2 Corinthians 3 verse 18 says, but we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory by the Spirit of the Lord. The Living Bible says, and as the Spirit of the Lord works within us, we become more and more like Him. Say, thank you, Holy Spirit, for transforming me and helping me to become more and more like Jesus. Number nine, the Holy Spirit produces the character of Christ in us. Galatians 5:22 says, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The Holy Spirit produces the character of Jesus. Number 10, the Holy Spirit enables us to preach. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 12 says, who preach the gospel to you by the power of the Holy Spirit. Say, thank you, Holy Spirit, that you enable me to preach the gospel, to proclaim the good news. Say, I am anointed with the power of the Holy Spirit to proclaim the good news of the gospel. Amen?
Amen.
We are all anointed with the power of the Holy Spirit to proclaim the good news of the gospel. Number 11, the Holy Spirit distributes spiritual gifts and manifestations. In 1 Corinthians 12 verse 4, it says there are varieties of spiritual gifts, special abilities given by the grace and extraordinary power of the Holy Spirit operating in believers, but it's the same Spirit who grants them and empowers believers. The Holy Spirit is the one who gives gifts. Number 12, the Holy Spirit empowers us and anoints us for ministry. Yeah. Romans 15 verse 18 says, Paul said, I will not dare to speak of any of the things which Christ has not accomplished through me in word and deed to make the Gentiles obedient. He went on and said, in mighty signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God. So that from Jerusalem and round about all, Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. He said that these signs and wonders was by the power of the Spirit of God. Paul said all the signs and wonders that were accomplished through his ministry were by the power of the Holy Spirit. So think about all the things the Holy Spirit has come to bring us joy, to guide us, to strengthen us, to comfort us, to encourage us, to teach us, to transform us. I mean, we need the Holy Spirit's ministry.
Yeah.
Right? The dictionary defines defines the word empower to give power or authority to authorize. It can also be translated as to enable or to permit. So when you are empowered, you are enabled to do what God has called you to do. It's a supernatural, divine enablement.
Amen.
Amen. Jesus was anointed with the power of the Holy Spirit. That's how, do you know that's how Jesus did all of his miracles, was by the power of the Holy Spirit? Yeah, Acts 10, verse 38. You know that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. God anointed Jesus with the Holy Spirit and with power. And then Jesus went around doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. For God was with him. Do you know when Jesus, when was Jesus anointed with the Holy Spirit? He got baptized. We read it earlier. That's when the Holy Spirit descended upon him. That's when he was, that's when he was anointed with the power of the Holy Spirit. That's when his ministry began. That's when he started preaching. That's when he started healing. That's when he started performing miracles. Jesus didn't perform any miracles because he was the Son of God. Do you know that? Jesus never performed any miracles because he was the Son of God. Because when Jesus came to the earth, he laid aside his divinity. He laid aside his godly powers. He became a servant. He lived as a human. He was totally dependent on the power of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says that. Philippians 2 verse 7. It says your attitude should be the same kind that was shown to us by Jesus Christ, who though he was God, he did not demand and cling to his rights as God, but he laid aside his mighty power and glory, taking the disguise of a slave and becoming like man. See, Jesus laid aside his godly powers. Everything he did was by the power and anointing of the Holy Spirit. That's why Jesus didn't preach or do any miracles until he was anointed with the Holy Spirit when he was baptized when he was 30 years old. There's no record of Jesus doing any miracles until then. Why? Because that's when he was anointed with the Holy Spirit and he needed the anointing of the Holy Spirit because he had laid aside his own godly power and came to the earth as a man. Are you with me so far? And that means a lot to us because the same Holy Spirit who anointed Jesus, he has come to anoint us as well. 1 John 2:27 says, but the anointing which you have received from him abides in you. Just like Jesus was anointed with the Holy Spirit, you also have been anointed with the Holy Spirit. Because we've been anointed with the Holy Spirit, we can do the same works that Jesus did. That's why Jesus said in John 14 verse 12, most assuredly I say to you, I like that, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, let me see your hand. If you believe in Jesus, wave your hand at me, everyone. The works that I do, he will do also, she will do also, and greater works than these will he do because I go to my Father. Now let me ask you a question. How come we can do the works Jesus did because he's going to the Father? Why? What does him going to the Father, what does it have to do with us doing the things that Jesus did? Because he sent the Holy Spirit. He said, it's better for you if I go, because if I go, then I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. And that's why we can do the works that Jesus did, because we got the same Spirit that anointed him. Are you still here?
Yes.
Come back for me, Tasha. I missed something. Go forward. You're right on. Mark 16 verse 17 says this. These miraculous signs will accompany those who believe. They will cast out demons in my name. And they will speak in new languages. It says they will be able to place their hands on the sick and they will be healed. Why? Because it's the anointing and power of the Holy Spirit that's on you to do the works Jesus did. Hello? And number 13. The Holy Spirit helps us to pray the will of God. Now, I told you about all the things the Holy Spirit has come to do in our life. And let me tell you, thank God, the Holy Spirit helps you to pray the will of God. One of the greatest things that the Holy Spirit helps us to do is to pray.
Yes.
Praying in the Spirit, praying in tongues, is one of the most powerful ways you can pray.
Amen.
Hello?
Yes.
It's one of the most powerful ways you can pray. 1 Corinthians 14 verse 14 says, if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit, by the Holy Spirit within me prays. But my mind is unproductive. My mind, you know, it's amazing to me that I can stand up here and I can give you scripture for every single statement I'm making to you. And people get up and walk out. Because you know what that tells me? They won't accept it even when the Word of God says it. That's the one accepted. Because it goes against what I've been told. Let me tell you, when you pray in tongues, you are praying with the help and the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. The time that I've been in America in this church, I have had more pushback against this than anything else. Anything that I've ever preached, I have more pushback against this. Why do you think that is? Why do you think the devil gets so nervous when you start talking about the power of the Holy Spirit? When you start talking about speaking in tongues? Listen, I cannot pull back. This has been one of the greatest blessings in my life. If you don't pray in the Spirit, you've got no idea what you're doing. I mean, Dolores has told me before. She's processing it. I'm so glad that Debella has been praying the Spirit. She prays in the Spirit every day for hours, every day. It just changed my life. But yet, just a little while ago, she didn't know anything about the Holy Spirit. But if you're willing to learn. Yes. Amen.
Yes.
1 Corinthians 14, verse 4 says this: He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. And the New Living Bible says, it says, a person who speaks in tongues is strengthened personally. And the Passion Bible says, the one who speaks in tongues advances his own spiritual progress.
Amen.
Do you know one of the greatest things you can do to advance your own progress is pray in tongues?
Amen.
One of the greatest things you can do. Jude 20, just one chapter. Jude verse 20 says, but you, beloved, build yourselves up on your most holy faith, make progress, rise like an edifice, higher and higher. How? By praying in the Holy Spirit. If you want to rise, if you want to move up, pray in the Spirit.
Amen.
When you pray in other tongues by the help of the Holy Spirit, you are supernaturally edified and charged up. It strengthens you. You make progress spiritually. One of the greatest ways you can advance your spiritual progress, other than reading the Word of God, is by praying in the Spirit. But there's something else amazing that happens. Something else amazing that happens. Not only do you get edified, not only do you get charged up, not only do you get personally strengthened, not only do you personally progress, but there's something else amazing that happens. Romans 8, verse 26. Listen to this. And the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for, but the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. And the Father, who knows all hearts, knows what the Spirit is saying, for the Spirit pleads for us believers in harmony with God's own will. So that is telling me, when I don't know what to pray for, that the Holy Spirit helps me. He helps me to pray according to the will of God. When I pray with the help of the Holy Spirit, when I pray in tongues, I am praying according to the will of God. That's one of the most amazing benefits of being filled with the Holy Spirit and speaking in other tongues. He enables you to pray God's will for your life.
Amen.
Are you listening to me today?
Amen.
There is nothing right now that is more important than what I'm telling you right
Amen.
Now. When you pray in the Spirit, do not be distracted. Don't let the enemy distract you. Because there is nothing more important for your life than praying in the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Listen how the Passion Bible says it. The Passion Bible, Romans 8, 26 says, in a similar way, the Holy Spirit takes hold of us in our human frailty to empower us in our weakness. For example, at times we don't even know how to pray or know the best things to ask for. But the Holy Spirit rises up within us to super intercede on our behalf, pleading to God with emotional sighs too deep for words. God, the searcher of the heart, knows fully our longings, yet He also understands the desires of the Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit passionately prays before God, before us, His holy ones, in perfect harmony with God's plan and our destiny. You want to see God's destiny for your life fulfilled? Pray in the Spirit. Because when you pray in the Spirit, you pray in tongues, the Holy Spirit enables you to pray God's destiny for your life. That is powerful. I was watching Kevin Zadai on TV on Sid Roth. And you know, Kevin Zadai has been to our church. I think last year was at our church. He died while he was having dental surgery. And when he died, he came out of his body and he saw Jesus. Jesus was standing in the room. And since then, he's had many encounters with Jesus. And Kevin has actually been to heaven. And when he went to heaven, he saw the book that God has for every one of us. Do you know in heaven there's you have a book? What are you talking about, Pastor Steve? Psalm 139 tells us, "You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed." God has a book in heaven for your life. Now I want you to watch Kevin's video. 2 minutes. We've got two videos. One's 2 minutes, one's 1 minute 30. Would you go ahead and play those videos? Make sure we've got good volume. Play those two videos.
The counselor in heaven, where they explain that to me.
I was surprised at how intricate and organized heaven is, and I was really intrigued by God's order. He has a government; it's called the Kingdom of God. He has books that are written about every individual person, and they are available to the angels that are assigned to each person. Those angels look at those books; they're briefed. Decisions are made on who would influence a group of people, and those angels go to work and bringing the truth to those people and helping them to get other people involved and walk in the Spirit with God.
Yeah, but what you explained to me is that we all have free will, but they work out a strategy in heaven to get you in the right place at the right time, doing the right thing, and it's got a lot to do with us yielding. How do you understand that?
Well, I found that the most serious asset or liability that we have is our own will. I know that God loves us, but He has to get that across to us. We have to have revelation from the Spirit of God, and many people don't have the revelation of God's love and His concern for us or His plan for us. But these books are full pages that Jesus said some of them will never be opened because people don't yield to the Spirit, that they don't give their will over. There is a walking in the Spirit that requires you to hand your life over and carry your own cross. And Jesus wanted everyone to know this, that there is power available, but it's going to be by you losing and him gaining you.
The counselor.
This is the
so if I'm hearing you right, what you're saying is there's a book that has your whole life. Nothing happens on earth unless a human speaks it. And by speaking in tongues, your book, you are speaking your entire destiny. That book is so specific. You told me that you saw exact amounts of money people would make. Explain that.
Yeah, there was one of the books was a friend of mine, and he was actually very wealthy as a young man, was going to make a large amount of money in his lifetime. Jesus had it down to the penny. And he said, "This is what he'll be worth when he passes away and comes with me." He said, however, he's not praying in the Spirit. He's not speaking in tongues. And so the Spirit of God is not allowed to have utterance through him, which means that he's not reading his book. His book says, okay, this is what he showed me. And Jesus pointed to the figure. It was four times the amount that he was going to make if he didn't speak in tongues. So if by speaking in tongues, it increased his net worth in his lifetime four times, not because he was focused on riches, but because the Spirit of God was leading him into all truth, which in fact was God's assignment for him to make money for the kingdom.
Jesus said there was a number one way to get into the Spirit. What was that?
He said it was praying in tongues.
Well, did you get that? If that doesn't motivate you to pray in tongues, then I don't know what ever would. I don't know what would. God has a destiny for your life. And God has a book with every aspect of your life recorded. And when you pray in tongues, the Holy Spirit helps you to pray what's in that book into being.
Amen.
Did you get that? He said there's a lot of people, God has blessings for them, even money, and they're not enjoying it because they're not praying in the Spirit. The more you pray in tongues and pray in the Spirit, the more the Holy Spirit is able to pray what's in your book to become a reality. When you pray in tongues, you pray God's will. And that's amazing. I don't know about you, but I want everything that God has planned for my life. I want everything that is written down in that book. So I'm going to pray in tongues a lot. How about you? I wonder if that's why the Apostle Paul wrote to the church in Corinth in 1 Corinthians 14:18. He said, I thank God I speak in tongues more than any of you and all of you put together. They must have prayed in tongues a lot, man. I pray in tongues more than any of you. And more than all of you put together. Why would Paul pray in tongues so much? Because he knew the power of speaking in tongues. If you've never received the infilling of the Holy Spirit, if you've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit, and if you don't pray in tongues, I have a good news for you. Today is your day. You can receive the Holy Spirit, be filled with the Holy Spirit today. You need to have a close relationship with the Holy Spirit. The Father has sent the Holy Spirit to be your friend. And the way that you develop a close relationship with the Holy Spirit is by talking to Him every day. Being aware of His presence. Acknowledging Him. How do you develop a good relationship with someone on the earth? By spending time with them. By talking to them. Isn't that right?
Yes.
And let me tell you, when you pray in tongues, you're fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit. You're developing an intimacy with the Holy Spirit. Philippians 3 verse 10 says this, for my determined purpose is that I may know Him. That I may become progressively, more deeply and intimately acquainted with Him. My determined purpose is that I would know Him. My purpose is that I would become more intimately and deeply acquainted with Him. Perceiving and recognizing and understanding the oneness of His person more strongly and more clearly, and that I may in that same way come to know the power overflowing from His resurrection. Now listen, you need to have an encounter with the Holy Spirit. He wants to manifest Himself to you. He wants to manifest Himself through you. He wants to work in you. This is a constant process, family, until we see Him one day. The Holy Spirit works continually in your life to change you so that you become more and more like Jesus. You've got a hunger for Him. You've got a thirst after Him. It won't just happen just because you're born again, child of God. Receiving Jesus as Lord, that's not the end. It's just the beginning. You've got to want to go further with God. Because many Christians, they don't want God to work down deep on the inside of them. God is looking for people who are hungry. He's looking for hungry hearts. Jesus said in Matthew 5 verse 6, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. You've got to be hungry. You've got to thirst after righteousness. You've got to be thirsty for the Holy Spirit to move in your life. Imagine a man walking through the desert and he's had no water for 3 days and he's thirsty, man. And his tongue is sticking to the roof of his mouth. His lips are parched and bleeding. All he can think about is water. And a second man arrives. He offers him $500,000. He pushes it aside. He gasps on him. Water, water. A third man arrives. He offers him $1,000,000. He pushes it aside. He shouts, no, water. I need water. When you hunger and thirst for God, like that thirsty man is thirsting after water, when nothing else means anything in your life except to have an encounter with God, then He will come and touch you. He will come and fill you. But let me tell you, there is something about a hungry heart and a thirsty heart that causes God to move over 1,000,000 people and come and touch your life. Are you hungry? Are you thirsty for God? Are you tired of your situation? Are you dissatisfied with your spiritual life, family? I pray that you get so matters that you can't sleep at night because your desire is to have more of God. Let me tell you, when the Holy Spirit, when the power of the Holy Spirit works in your life, you will change, family. It'll change you. If you had a head-on collision with a Mack truck, I guarantee it would change you. I guarantee your friends would notice. They would say there's something different about you. What happened to you? I was hit by a Mack truck. I knew something happened. Oh, you changed. You look different. Well, listen, you need to have a head-on collision with the Holy Spirit, because when you do, you will be changed, family. He wants to work in you. But you've got to give Him free rein. You've got to allow Him to have His way. You've got to be hungry and thirsty for the Holy Spirit to work in your life. He's not going to force Himself upon you. He won't touch you unless you desire Him, unless you welcome Him. You've got to say, Holy Spirit, work in me. Change me, Lord. Have Your way in my life, Lord. The Holy Spirit, He wants to manifest Himself to you. And He wants to manifest Himself through you. And many people, they want God to use them. They want God to flow through them. But they don't want God to do a work on the inside of them. One of the greatest hindrances to God's manifestation through you is not allowing Him to work in you. Deep down in your heart, family, you've got to get rid of pride. You've got to say, like John said, I must decrease and He must increase. If you want Him to flow through you, you've got to clear the pipeline. There's nothing wrong with the source, family. There might even be a full volume of water flowing to the pipe, but if the pipe is blocked, then only a trickle is going to flow out. And some people, their pipe is blocked, and God wants to send a blast of His Holy Spirit fire to clean you out and make you a vessel through whom He can flow. And our prayer should be, Lord, work in me. You the potter, I'm the clay. Have Your way in my life. When you surrender completely and you give God free rein to move in your life and you do as He pleases, family, I want you to know you're ready for Him to flow through you in a powerful way. He wants to move through you, but He can't until He's moved in you. And I encourage you, get rid of pride, get rid of sin, get rid of unbelief, get rid of unforgiveness. Surrender completely. Tell the Lord, Lord, have Your way in my life, and He will have His way. Our prayer should be like Jesus, Lord, not my will, but Yours be done. I'll go where You want me to go. I'll do what You want me to do. I'll say what You want me to say. I'll be what You want me to be. You see, family, the Holy Spirit has come to be your friend, to be your helper. He wants to lead you. He wants to guide you. He wants to teach you. He wants to reveal things to you. He wants to empower you. He wants to enable you. He wants to anoint you. He wants to use you. He wants to fill you. He wants to strengthen you. He wants to comfort you. He wants to encourage you. He wants to satisfy you. He wants to bring you freedom. He wants to give you joy. He wants to quicken you with the life of God. He wants to help you to pray the will of God. He wants to transform you, family. But you've got to yield to Him. You've got to rely on Him to help you, to lead you, to guide you, to strengthen you. You've got to get to know your friend, the Holy Spirit. He's with you everywhere you go. He's with you everywhere you go. Just imagine the Holy Spirit, like my wife, man, and everywhere I go, follow me around. The Holy Spirit's following me. The Holy Spirit's right here. And we say, oh Lord, oh, I wish You'd help me. Oh, I so need Your help. Oh Lord. And He's standing right next to you. I'm waiting. And we jump off and we ignore Him.
Yeah. Right.
The Holy Spirit is with you. He's with you. Yeah. Everywhere you go. Right. Acknowledge Him. When you wake up in the morning, good morning, Holy Spirit. Good morning. If you want to develop and relationship with the Holy Spirit, you've got to talk to Him. Thank You, Holy Spirit, that You guide me today. And You lead me. Thank You that You strengthen me. Thank You, You protect me. Thank You, You defend me. Thank You, You provide for me. Thank You, You anoint me. Thank You, You empower me. Thank You, You give me joy. You've got to talk to the Holy Spirit. He is your friend. He is that person. Amen?
Amen.
Now, how many people do pray in tongues? You speak in tongues. Wave your hand for me. If you do not speak in tongues, today is your day. Today is your day. I said, today is your day. I said, today is your day. If I said to you, Doctor's Church this Sunday, everyone's getting $1 million. $1 million for you, $1 million for you. I promise you right now, we wouldn't be able to fit them all in. Are you kidding me? We'd have to take over the whole hotel if we were giving away $1 million gifts. How many of you know we'd have a lot of people in church? How many know your friends would come to church and say, hey, today you want $1 million? Come to church. Let me tell you, the Holy Spirit is a far greater gift than
Amen.
And I'm not here to try and force the Holy Spirit on him. Let me tell you, people walked out when Jesus was preaching. A lot. Not just one or two. The entire congregation. Doesn't bother me. It used to bother me. It doesn't bother me. In fact, I kind of like it now because it tells me I'm following Jesus because they walked out with him. I'm not here to try and force anything on him. If you don't want the Holy Spirit, fine. But what you would be missing. I tell you, I wouldn't even want to try. I wouldn't even want to try. And live my Christian life without the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, my friend. Amen. So if you've never been filled with the Spirit and if you do not speak in tongues, today is your day. Today is your day. Just lift your hand right where you're sitting. Right where you're sitting, lift your hand. If you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, lift your hand right where you sit. And say this, say, Father, I thank you for sending the Holy Spirit to be my friend, to empower me, to anoint me, to strengthen me, to guide me, to teach me, to empower me. Father, thank you. You said, how much more will you give the Holy Spirit to everyone that asks you? Say this, say, Father, I'm asking you to fill me today with your Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. Say, Holy Spirit, I receive you today. I surrender to you today. Come and fill me. Come and baptize me. I desire to be filled by you. I want to be able to pray in that other tongues. I want to pray in that heavenly language. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for filling me today. Say, I receive. In the name of Jesus. Now, in the name of Jesus, be filled with the Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Right now, receive ye the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Now, if you are filled with the Holy Spirit, I want you to start praying. Start speaking out in that heavenly language. Speak out in that. Speak out in tongues right now. Just close your eyes. Just begin to speak those words coming up out of your heart. Speak those sounds. Open your mouth and the words will come.
Everybody.
Your power, you are.
close your eyes and hold up your hands right where you're sitting. Say, Holy Spirit, I surrender to you. Have your way in me. Touch me. Change me. Transform me. I desire to know you intimately. And from today, I am going to seek after you and talk to you and develop friendship with you. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are my friend, that you are with me, you are guiding me, you are strengthening me. Say thank you, Holy Spirit, for working in me today, filling me with your joy, filling me with your peace.
And your descendants shall possess the gate of the enemies.
in your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed because you've obeyed my voice. So this reminds me, when we see these things, these patterns of what Abraham did, we learn from what the Word of God did. We learn from these examples, right? It reminds me of Malachi. Because in Malachi 3, the Bible says that God tests us with tithing, right? He wants us to be obedient, and then he brings provision. That's exactly what we've seen in Genesis. He said, bring all the tithes in my storehouse, and may be food in my house, and try me now, test me, says the Lord, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour you out blessings. So, family, whenever we get to see the Word of God, it is important for us, first of all, to instantly obey. When we hear the Word of God, instantly obey, because the blessing is attached to that obedience. Amen? So I just say that to encourage you as you give, because I know we have faithful tithers in here. We need our faith to be built up that God is our provider. When we obey, when we see offering as worship, there's a blessing that is attached to it. He is our provider. Amen? Do you believe that? There are envelopes on your seat right there. I thank you to those who give online. Giving online is so easy. Giving by text is so easy. Pastor Steve, did you want to add? Thank you.
I do. You know, as you get ready to give this morning, first of all, I want to thank you for every dollar that you've given to this church. I want to thank you because we appreciate every single dollar. But you know what? There's something much greater than just my thanks. You need to realize that this, I'm not asking you to make a donation this morning. I'm asking you to sow seed into the kingdom of God. And when you sow seed into the kingdom of God, you're going to reap a harvest. When you sow, you reap. When you sow, the Bible says he that sows a little reaps a little, even so is a lot reaps a lot. I want you to understand that as much as I appreciate and I am so thankful for every dollar you give, we don't take one penny for granted. That there's a much greater blessing than just having my gratitude, and that is having the blessing of God.
Amen.
Now, as far as our building goes, I just want to give you an update every week of what's happening, because this is a miracle in motion. You understand? Can I see some of the pictures? We are about ready. We've dug up the floor. Can you show me the pictures, please, of the floor? We've dug up the floor for the bathrooms, for the plumbing. What quite a job. And Chris digging that floor up. And you know, it's amazing. Every step of the way, God is giving us favor. The plumbing company said that they would normally charge 30. Just hold it on the pictures if you would. Follow the pictures. Thank you. The plumbing company said they would charge normally $30,000. That's what their estimate would be normally. But because they were a church, they want to help us, they know Chris, they're willing to do all the plumbing. I've got their quote, $12,000 instead of $30,000. So, I want you to know that this is happening on every step of this project. And that we are getting things at such great deals and such great prices. So there you see, it's, carry on with the pictures, it's clear, building's cleared up, we got all the framing up for the walls, framing in for the windows, dug up the bathroom, the children's classrooms, all the doors are in. We're going to be starting driving the sheetrock pretty soon. So praise God. Thank you for everyone who's given toward this. Now when I say to you, hey, praise God, instead of $30,000 for the plumbing, it's only $12,000. That's wonderful, but we still need $12,000. It's still $12,000. You understand? Yeah. Praise God! Don't be 12! Yeah, but we still need 12,000 to do the plumbing. So thank you for everyone who's given. Now remember, when your tithe and offering is to go to Christian Family Church to keep food in God's house. But if you're giving toward a new building, if you're giving toward the new building, then please use the red envelope to send to do that. Thank you so much. Let's pray. Let's believe God. Amen. Let's trust the Lord. How many of you are praying and believing with us that the Lord supplies everything we need for our building? But don't forget, just want to let you know that on Wednesday, you can give me that slide, Wednesday, April the 18th, we're going to have a prayer party in our new building. We're going to meet in our new building, and I want to ask the band if they can be there, Monique. I haven't just spoken to you about it, but if you're able to be there, I would love to have the band there. I'd love to get some praise and music, walk around that building, pray in the Holy Ghost, rejoice and dedicate us to the Lord. So I'll hope please join us on Wednesday, April 18th at 7 p.m. at 1224 Indian Town Road, is the Shops of Jupiter Creek Plaza. 7 p.m. on Wednesday, April 18th. Please come and join us. We really want to have all of you out there, see what's happening. We're going to pray together. So hold that offering in your hand, the Lord's tithe, the offering. Father, thank you for a generous church. Thank you that this church is so generous. Thank you for faithful givers, for faithful tithers. We thank you for stirring people's hearts to give. We thank you, Lord, that you are Jehovah Jireh. Lord, you are our provider. Thank you for providing everything, all the money we need for the new build out. Thank you, Lord, for blessing your people as they give. Thank you for opening the windows of heaven above them. Thank you for pouring blessing upon them. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you that blessings are chasing after us. I thank you, Lord, that goodness and mercy follows after us. I thank you for surrounding us with favor. I thank you for opening doors. Lord, you can do more in a moment than we can do in a lifetime. Thank you, Father, for supernatural blessings that you are sending our way. Thank you for blessing every giver. You said as we sow bountifully, we will reap bountifully. Thank you for bountiful harvest, bountiful blessings, abundant, overflowing blessings. In Jesus' name, amen. If you believe that, say amen.
Amen.
Say thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
The windows of heaven are open above my life. Thank you that you're pouring blessings upon me, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, ushers. Is everybody ready this morning?
Yes.
Is everyone ready to give this morning? All the cheerful givers shout it out. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, ushers. Go right ahead. Pass the offering bag, and I hope you'll stay and have some birthday cake with us. Pastor Jill's birthday. Amen. Did you get something out of this morning?
Yes.
But listen, I'm going to stand before the Lord one day. I'm going to give an account. And there's no way that I can keep quiet about the Holy Spirit. There's no way that I can hide that from you. You need the Holy Spirit in your life. Amen?
Yes.
Praise God. Let's just let the ushers finish up. We don't want to run them over as we run out the doors. We all finished? Lord, thank you. Let's pray one more time. Lord, thank you today for your Holy Spirit.